Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, I want to talk about how The Chosen gets Judas wrong. There's been a couple clips that have gone viral lately, and that's what I want to focus on today. I've wanted to make this video for a while, but, you know, things got put on the back burner, especially as I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was as charitable as possible. But now we definitely have a new clip from The Chosen that definitely showcases some bad theology underpinning the series, as well as backstory that's just completely nonsensical, as well as certain motivations and interactions that do not line up with scripture. So we're going to dive into that, but first I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. I have been doing episodic reviews of The Chosen, but it's a rough watch in my opinion. I don't like the series at all. I do not think it's a very good film adaptation of scripture, both on a scriptural level, on a television entertainment level, and certainly if you're a history buff, this is not very immersive in it or anything like that. So it's not a good show, and it does amplify a lot of bad theology, mainly a lot of seeker sensitivity. A lot of feminism undergirds the series as well with its portrayal of Mary Magdalene. And we do a lot of coverage of The Chosen here at Evangelical Dark Web, you know, their pride flag controversy, the fact that it doesn't seem like anyone involved in The Chosen is a Christian, which is pretty odd. But nonetheless, we have a patron-like system you can support us at. Also check out Winning Not Winsome, my book, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. I do mention The Chosen at least once in Winning Not Winsome. So chapter 10, by the way. So let's dive into these clips from The Chosen. The first one is a behind the scenes. It will set up the second clip, which is the more recent one that has gone viral. But it's just, how are they framing Judas? Like, how are they framing him? And it's just so modern and bad. It's just so dumb is how they're framing him for a very dumbed down audience. So here they go.
All I want is to see your kingdom come.
That's quite a conversation starter.
He's literally a littering line of mistakes. He just makes every mistake in the book possible.
I mean, everyone knows Judas is going to betray Jesus. What would have potentially caused him to break bad?
Judas is in a place where there's such profound lack of understanding at a fundamental level about what Jesus is offering, about what it means to follow the Messiah.
He's extra tone deaf to what Jesus is trying to represent.
When Zia is teaching him how to wash clothes, reminds him, you had a life and lived a certain way. You need to set aside most of it. We value your experience with finances or whatever, but that has to come second to just following Jesus and listening.
Judas, you are learned.
Oh, thank you.
But you are not wise.
Oh, okay.
Judas is going from day one. It seems like we're not overcoming some of these obstacles and these hurdles. Maybe Judas isn't quite ready or even capable of washing his soul.
I think he's left his job, he gave his house to his sister, he has put all the chips on the table into Jesus. So he doesn't really have anybody to turn to, confide to, he's alone, so he does like a small little bad thing. He just takes a little bit of money.
The concept of honesty, of lying, you know, is very innocent and small. If you miss that opportunity to be honest, you can't say the truth anymore.
Judas is constantly thinking about how do I do the right thing? And that hyper-focus on perfection, it's really spiritually damaging.
What he's not ready to do is acknowledge his wrong expectations.
I don't understand what we're doing.
He just needs to calm down, take a chill pill, and get with the program, man.
My vision for the world is bigger than you can dream.
So that is clip number one, and what you see there is they kind of frame Judas as this well-intentioned retard. Like, there's really not a nicer way to say it. And that's a very odd origin story, like villain origin story, I should clarify. Because, you know, Anakin Skywalker's not exactly that dumb, is not portrayed as that dumb. There's a lot of villains that are portrayed as well-intentioned, but this one's well-intentioned and stupid. So it's just an odd portrayal. It's not really a villainous archetype that's really been done before, and it just seems very uncompelling that, hey, this is the guy that was in the group, didn't get with the program, needed to take a chill pill, and then would ultimately betray the Messiah. And it's just, I don't know. It falls flat as an origin story, but we're going to learn more about that in the second clip, which is a scene from the show in the upcoming fifth season, which is a season that's supposedly going to depict the crucifixion. So we have a lot of stuff going on here. Also worth highlighting all the stuff that's chosen to skip that is in the Bible. So this isn't really an adaptation of the scriptures because they just don't adapt so much of it. Like a lot of the more uncomfortable parts, they're not really interested in adapting things like the transfiguration and more of Jesus's divine claims. So this is clip number two, and here we go.
Arrived the critical moment.
There have been so many.
All of Israel has gathered in one place, ready to crown you king. The popularity amongst them has never been greater. Rome is sitting on its hands, hoping this will all blow over. And they may even be delighted by what you said about taxes.
I see.
But it's going to be easy for your adversaries in the temple to weaponize what you said about the taxes and spread ill will amongst the people like a disease. And everything will deteriorate rapidly.
So, again, there's speculation about how Rome views Jesus, which is a big theme in The Chosen. It's just not founded in scripture, obviously, but nonetheless, we're going to get into more issues. This takes place, I believe, on the Wednesday of Holy Week. That's typically when the stuff about the taxes is said to have happened. So we're gearing up for the betrayal.
The window of opportunity is closing, even as we speak.
Sounds like you have some ideas.
You called each of us for a reason. I've been a successful businessman in the past, and I have experience with human persuasion. So I can tell when a deal is on the verge of closing or losing big. It is a knife's edge.
So here we have Judas's backstory established as a businessman. I mean, I guess they're trying to like shove in certain stereotypes into the biblical narrative that just aren't there. Now, a plausible theory about Judas's backstory that I've seen in multiple theological camps is that Judas was a zealot. That, you know, Judas Iscariot means, you know, has to do with being an assassin and an Iscariot and stuff like that. You know, if you've seen Sicario, you maybe get the root of the word Sicario and Iscariot, kind of the same root word. So the idea of Judas being a zealot and therefore was disgruntled at, you know, them not ushering in a worldly kingdom. So he just sold out his Messiah, and who knows, he can just move on to the next one. But the character of Judas is one that represents a lot of hypocrisy. This is someone who does not have personal belief, which is another area that you're going to see fall flat here, that Judas does not have personal belief in the Bible, but in the Chosen, that's not exactly what's going on.
And so to adopt your language for a moment, what is the deal you're proposing I close?
Reclaimed your birthright. You are the Messiah, son of David. And the people are so convinced they're singing songs in your name. It's time.
And if I don't do whatever big thing you've imagined I should do at this time, will you still believe?
Of course I will.
Then why are you suggesting that you know better than I do what should be the next best course of action?
Look, I trust you. Do you trust me?
What sort of question is that?
You believe I have something to offer this group? Yes?
I do.
Then why won't you take my advice? Am I not here to help you?
I've never asked you for your advice.
Then what am I here for?
Now, it is true that Christ has never asked his disciples for advice. He never asked his disciples for advice in the scriptures. Yet the idea that the disciples would expect that Christ would, again, interpersonal conflict, supposedly it is plausible. It is, you know, as Dallas Jenkins would say, biblically plausible, unlike the theory about Matthew being autistic. Like, that's not biblically plausible at all. But the idea that Judas would want Jesus to seek him for advice, sure, I'll allow it. But at the end of the day, the idea of Judas being a believer, a firm believer, or at least trying to, that part doesn't really resonate as much. Now we got some bad theology coming up.
If I am no use to your kingdom, that I am nothing.
You have a choice to make, Judas.
I'm listening.
Who you belong to? Who has your heart? I want it. And I've had it before. You followed me willingly.
And I want to continue. There's nothing more than I want than that.
Then I will pray for you.
So this scene had some false controversy that, you know, the idea of Jesus praying for Judas was seen as the controversy of this scene by certain people in Christian media. I'm talking like Ed Stetzer and Church Leaders, which is a very liberal and gay-affirming outlet that has been one of the biggest proponents of The Chosen and other liberal, you know, even the Mary movie that just came out on Netflix, they promoted that as well. So here's the bad theology that really rubs. The idea that Jesus has, that Jesus had Judas's heart and does not have it anymore. That part is horrendous theology. There's the part about free will, which both parts of, you know, free will, we don't necessarily understand that debate as it really should be understood. It is Judas's fault that he betrays Jesus. He made that decision. It is also God who made Judas for the purpose of betraying Jesus. Like, that was Jesus's mission in life, essentially, was to be that guy who betrayed Jesus and thus, you know, would give even more glory to God. So God wrote the story that Judas would be the betrayer of Jesus. That is the story that God wrote into creation and prophesied hundreds of years before it actually happened. Now, Judas still made all the decisions, and, you know, that's the whole wrestling between free will and fate. But in any case, the part about Jesus losing the heart of Judas, that is horrendous theology. Jesus does not lose his sheep. He is the great shepherd. He does not lose his sheep. And he teaches three consecutive parables about this concept, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. All three of these belong to Christ, and he does not lose them. He goes out of his way to make sure that the lost coin returns, and that the lost sheep returns to the herd, and that the lost son would eventually return. The lost son returns. The prodigal son returns to the master and the master's house. The prodigal son is about someone who's backslidden, someone who starts out in the fold, in the house, in the good presence, and then abandons that and realizes that that was wrong and comes right back. So there's a lot of teaching in Scripture about this, that God does not lose his sheep. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He does not lose his sheep. He did not lose Judas. He tolerated Judas. He taught Judas. He was like the first false teacher of the New Testament church. You know, considering he was an apostle of sort. You know, he was an apostle that had to be replaced. That is who Judas was. He was a religious hypocrite. Just like what he called out with the Pharisees. He professed to believe publicly, did not believe privately. He was disgruntled, perhaps, because he had more earthly ambitions for Christ's kingdom. But he was not some businessman who wants to cut a deal, increase Jesus' popularity. He's not a PR manager. He's not a handler. That's not who Judas was. And he's not some well-intentioned dummy. That's not what Judas was. He was a religious hypocrite. He was disgruntled. And ultimately, he was really evil at the end of the day. The idea that the Chosen's trying to give such a wishy-washy betrayal of Judas and then introduce bad theology to make either Judas's betrayal more emotionally impactful or just to hype, you know, just to be, you know, entertainment, I guess. I don't know the entertainment value of trying to have dudes crying sitting at a table next to each other. I don't know. I don't see the entertainment value in that at all. But it's just bad theology. Christ is the good shepherd who does not lose his sheep. So that's all I wanted to say for now. That's the bad theology of the Chosen I wanted to highlight for today. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.